If you're looking for trouble, you just wandered into the right place. The baddest biker bar in the investment world, The Danger Zone. Yes, welcome to The Danger Zone on Money Life, where we get the latest take from David Trainer, founder and president at New Constructs, a firm that is different because it brings together discounted cash flow analysis and forensic accounting. It does this by digging in at the footnotes level and working its way up, where most firms start at the top line level and work their way down. What they find is that sometimes the picture is misleading. And if it's misleading and working for you, well, that would make something attractive. But if it's working against you, it's dangerous. Learn more about how it works and find the most dangerous and attractive stocks lists at newconstructs.com. David Trainer, great to have you back on Money Life.
It is great to be back, Chuck. Thank you.
Who's in the danger zone this week?
Spotify.
Spotify. It's ticker symbol SPOT. It's a stock we've looked at before. Why is it back in the danger zone now?
It's had a big run up, Chuck, and the valuation has just gotten pretty ridiculous, I think you'd have to say. You know, we like to look at sort of the implied market share for companies and based on their valuation. And when we look at Spotify, it's more like double. The revenue baked into the stock price is pretty much double the expected market for music, radio, and podcasts. So assuming they get into all of that, streaming music, radio, they do it all, their implied revenue in their current stock price, assuming margins stay super high, is $560 billion. And if we take estimates on the size of the current market, and we grow that at 5%, even though the estimates are under 4%. We just said, you know, roll it up to 5. That would imply a total market of around $248 billion. So Spotify is, it's a really rich valuation, Chuck. We just think it's too much.
Now, I will point out, David, that I'm hearing you talk about Spotify, which currently is trading at above $630 a share as we record this, which a year ago was trading at $245 a share. And you're talking about all this revenue that they're making. I'll point out, Money Life does not use Spotify. We're available on Spotify, but it's not. They're not our platform, et cetera. If we moved over, not that we're planning on it, what you're suggesting is that the odds of me becoming really, really rich as a result of it are about the same as the odds of Spotify ever justifying this valuation, right?
You bring up a great point, Chuck, correct. You are right. You know, and that's one of the points we made in one of our original pieces on Spotify is a look, they don't own their product. Now they own some of it. And we can get into that, aspect in just a second, because we're not just talking about ridiculous revenue growth. But you bring up a really good point with respect to margins. If I'm the owner of my, if I'm a songwriter or I'm a podcast maker and I'm publishing through Spotify and they're making more money than me, I think I got a problem with that. Right. So there's a real ceiling on how much money Spotify can make, because at the end of the day, the owner of the content is going to be upset if they're not making the lion's share of the profits. And they're right. They should. Yeah, we think this is just an oddly overvalued stock, because the other part of it is that even if you assume maybe they're going to get into all their own new businesses, such as podcasts or whatever, that's a capital intensive business to buy all that stuff, right? I mean, they paid Joe Rogan a couple hundred million bucks, right? Well, the stock price, in addition to implying that revenues will get to $560 billion, also implies that the return on capital is going to go up to 2,400% at the same time. All the good news on margins, not having to buy or spend big money to buy podcasts. You know, that's all, I'm assuming all the best case scenario here. Margins stay high. They don't have to go out and buy any podcasts. It's just, you know, people pay them a huge premium for access to music and podcasts, and the market grows to be twice as big as what it really is. They own 150% of the market. Yeah, margins and returns on capital stay super high. I mean, this is like, you get what I'm saying here. It's expensive.
But is part of what you see, not just with Spotify, but with a couple of other companies that have been in the danger zone, companies like Uber and some of the other businesses, in part because it's not necessarily all about the new technology. It's that you're creating a new market that the stock market doesn't understand how to value. In other words, when you're talking about podcasts and who owns the content and what can be done with content, you're somehow trying to value it the way you valued a newspaper, which was a content-driven business, but is not Spotify. Or when you're looking at an Uber, you're trying to value it the way you would have valued taxi cab companies or something along those lines. Is part of the disconnect that we see that you get these popular ideas, which, by the way, could include some AI companies, and you don't have a great comp, as it were. It's not like saying, hey, if I'm looking at Pepsi, I can look at Coke. Different products, but same market dynamics, same fluid situations that they're both making. Fluid situations, get it? But still, a different business to value. Is that part of the problem here, or is that me overthinking it?
No, it is that difference in the business that is a bit of unknown, really effectively becomes a vacuum for Wall Street narratives to make up fantasy land narratives about the future of the business, which is why the valuations get to where they are. So the fact that there aren't sort of always apples to apples comps, what that leads people to do is to say, oh, well, this is going to be the next great, amazing business. And that's what you're seeing sort of with Spotify. And you're seeing with Uber. We see with a lot of the Danger Zone and zombie stocks, for that matter, is that, yes, it's a new business model. But what people need to remember, and you know, this is the same is true about AI and the internet and TV and every major technological innovation that's come along, is that most of the value at the end of the day gets transmitted to the individual users, to the consumer. Because the companies that want to provide the service compete with each other to get that business. And in order to get it, they've got to have the best product at the lowest price. And that's the way the world really works. So the idea that you're going to see all these new businesses become sort of Alice in Wonderland, Goldilocks, magical, great businesses, that's the false narrative that Wall Street is very successful at selling to people based on the ambiguity that you just brought up. And what we're trying to help people with the new constructs is to bust that up. To say, look, no matter how positive your narrative might be, nothing in the likely future of the world is going to come close to happening compared to what's baked into the stock price.
So at $630 a share, roughly, how out of whack is this price? What is a no growth value or a fair market value to you on Spotify?
Fair market value is kind of tough because I think they're going to be a pretty good business. Over time, the no growth value is around 73 bucks a share. You know, I think maybe, you know, a fair number for Spotify is probably closer to 150. If you assume that they continue to do really well, that's still a great future for Spotify. Not one as amazing as what's priced in, of course, but 100, 150 bucks is probably more likely. You're talking about something that's, you know, still drastically way above that.
Is there a logical catalyst here?
No, I don't really know what it is, Chuck. I mean, we do think that we're running the course of, you know, close to the end of sort of this excess liquidity phase in the world, that we're going to hopefully enter a new era for stocks where the market's a lot more efficient, and we're going to see a lot of these underloved stocks that we love to talk about them alongside the new constructs get capital. The overvalued stocks lose it. When exactly that takes place, I can't tell you. I think it's close, but yeah, I don't have a catalyst for you at Spotify.
Well, without a catalyst, we still have a thesis, and the thesis is that Spotify is way overvalued, and that's why it's in the danger zone. David, great stuff as always. See you next week.
Thank you, Chuck.
David Trainer is founder and president at New Constructs. Go to newconstructs.com for more information on all that they do. You can find the danger zone picks and much more at their website. And we are heading for home on the February 18th edition of Money Life. Next, it's market call time. Scott Davies from CDAM will be here. We're talking stocks and a lot of small caps when we come back in just a moment. Stick with us.